All right, let's have a word of prayer. Gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, once again we consider the privilege to continue our overlook of history, remembering that Jesus Christ is in control, and gaining from our study of history that the church age is indeed the age of protocol. You are not silent. You are revealed. You are through your word. And therefore, Heavenly Father, it becomes our responsibility to become students of the Word of God, that we might come into full knowledge of Jesus Christ and reflect His glory in our lives. To this end, Father, we do pray in Christ's name. Amen. I'm picking up on the same note where we left off last Sunday evening and dealing with the quick run-through that we're doing. So again, the 1800s, 1700s, 1800s primarily, and then the 1900s, going to be a rise in the development of thought, psychology, sociology, religion, biblical Christianity, the cult, Mormonism, Seventh-day Adventist, all of these things. Everything starts rising, coming into existence during this period. This is why, just when you study it the way we're doing it so quickly, you just get a feel of the momentum of history, that by no means have we arrived anywhere, but that it's just going to be very interesting to see, though we won't be here, I guess, but to see 100 years from now how things have just continued, and the development of the mind and the battles against Christianity. I think we left off at 1812. Did we do 1812? Okay, so we did do 1812. All right. Paper clips right. Let's go to 1813. I'm picking out things that are of predominant interest because there's just so much going on in Europe that it doesn't have lasting effects, and it's interesting only if we were studying that particular period of history. All right, let's see, 1813, a man is born that will have very important evil contributions later on. We had to study him in seminary. I don't know why, but I do know why. But he contributed nothing as far as understanding the Bible is concerned, but a man named Soren Kierkegaard, S-O-R-E-N, K-I-E-R-K-E-G-A-A-R-D. Soren Kierkegaard. Now, a lot of these men, Boltman, Kierkegaard, are going to come into existence in this particular period, bringing together their rejection of dogma Christianity and bringing in some philosophy, ideology. Of course, Darwin's going to come in. And so it's just an age of a total age and a break of thought. And I heard a very prominent fundamentalist preacher today on the radio just smashing doctrine. I couldn't believe he was doing it. And people just don't seem to understand that, no, doctrine in itself isn't going to carry anyone. You have to believe in the doctrine. You have to act on the doctrine. And that's going to be what makes the real issue. But continuing on, 1813, Soren Kierkegaard, a philosopher, is born. He will die in 1855. Richard Wagner, W-A-G-N-E-R, the German composer, is born. He will die in 1883. Not much in 1814, except, unless you know your history, but a very important song came about in 1814. Francis Scott Key writes the poem in defense of Fort Henry, and it will be later set to the music, and it is, of course, the Star-Spangled Banner. 1814, Francis Scott Key writes the poem, and the poem is Defense of Fort Henry, and it will be later set to music, and it will become our national anthem, the Star-Spangled Banner. 1815, the Americans defeat the British at the Battle of New Orleans. the British defeated at the Battle of New Orleans. Very interesting. I was there and went to the Battle of New Orleans, and since I have been there, they have decided that they are exactly 150 yards off everything they told me. So I have to go back now and study it all over again. But anyway, also in 1815, Napoleon is defeated at Waterloo. Napoleon is defeated at Waterloo. So the British are defeated in America at the Battle of New Orleans. Napoleon is defeated at Waterloo by Wellington and Blücher, B-L-U-C-H-U-R, June the 18th. After the defeat, Napoleon will abdicate. If you're interested in German history, and some of you will only be interested in knowing the name because of the great ship named after him, but he's a very important man as far as philosophy of politics is concerned, and a statesman, von Bismarck, B-I-S-M-A-R-C-K, is born in 1815. He will die in 1898. Otto von Bismarck, B-I-S-M-A-R-C-K, is born. So Waterloo is primarily the thing in 1815 and the Battle of New Orleans. Also in 1815, Robert Franz, F-R-A-N-Z, the German composer, is born. He will die in 1892. Robert Franz, F-R-A-N-Z. The sports people here, and this is where a lot of things in sports is going to start, and I haven't picked up every little thing that's come along, but or very little, as a matter of fact, that's come along, but just for the sake of it, the first great American, the first great golfer is born. His name is Robertson, R-O-B-E-R-T-S-O-N. He will die in 1858, but he will be very responsible for advancing golf. Also in 1815, we have the first steam warship. 1815, the first steam warship, USS Fulton. The warships play an important part in the war between the states. It's an interesting segment of history. All right, 1816, the American Bible Society is founded. The American Bible Society is founded. 1817, Henry David Thoreau, T-H-O-R-E-A-U, Henry David Thoreau, is born, and he will die in 1862, and it's very interesting, if you put all these down in their centuries and note everything that's going on, you can see and pick up the author's contribution to the thought of the time in which he lived. All right, 1818, just a historical note. The final border between Canada and America is agreed upon. The final border. So that's all laid to rest. As late as 1818, they finally decided the border of Canada and the U.S. Also in 1818, on the literature side, Byron writes Don Juan, J-U-A-N. Also an interesting thing, 1818, that all of us have been fascinated by, was the first writing by Shelley, S-H-E-L-L-E-Y, of Frankenstein. 1818 was the first writing of Frankenstein by Mary Shelley, a wonderful, sweet little girl, lady, came up with Frankenstein. 1818, man who will have great effects on history even to today, Karl Marx, will be born. He will die in 1883, but not until he had done some great damage in the area of literature and writing, political and sociology and things in this regard. Also 1818, we had the contribution in music of Silent Night. Silent Night. It was written by an Austrian school teacher, if you're interested. Since we're getting ready for Christmas, this would be a nice little fun thing at the dinner table. You can just start it. Well, since we're talking about Silent Night, and of course no one has been, but it was written by a Australian school teacher, Franz, F-R-A-N-Z, Huber, H-U-B-E-R. So, this is the Carol, Silent Night, is written at that time. 1818, the first professional horse racing in the United States. We're still fighting that battle. All right, 1819. James Russell Lowell, L-O-W-E-L-L, the American author, is born. He will die in 1891. Very good to put all of these in the time in which they lived to pick up their contribution and what they wrote as. Also in 1819, another man I particularly like in literature, Walt Whitman, W-H-I-T-M-A-N, Walt Whitman. American poet is born. 1819 also, this will come and go, but it's interesting, the development after the French Revolution, the freedom of the press is recognized in France. You really cannot appreciate, until you have, or we will, or whatever, America's Constitution and Bill of Rights. In world history, America is a phenomenon. I promise you, our history is just an unbelievable phenomenon. All right. Also, in 1820, to go along with Marx, Frederick Engels is born. Frederick, F R I E D R I C H, Engels, E N G E L S. I did not spell these names to embarrass anyone, but in case someone doesn't know, Frederick Engels, the German socialist, is born. He will die in 1895, and he and Karl Marx will get together. Both, of course, are German. For you ladies, in 1820, Florence Nightingale is born. Florence Nightingale, N-I-G-H-T-I-N-G-A-L-E. Florence Nightingale is born. You're going to have a lot of developments. The women's role is going to start changing in the 1800s, not in the 1900s. A lot of things develop in history in the 1800s going into the 1900s. 1821, James Monroe begins his second term as president. Very important man, by the way, in our history, James Monroe. Napoleon dies in 1821. Napoleon died in 1821. Now, in 1821, we have Mary Baker Eddy, founder of the Christian Science, is born. I will come to that in a few moments, but this is when she's born. Mary Baker Eddy, founder of Christian Science, is born. She will die in 1910. You have to realize we're going to start coming into a lot of writings that I'm not going to give you every time they come along of some of these philosophers that I've gone back over, or that I told you when they're born, they're beginning to write later on. 1822, getting ready now for what's going to happen in the 1860s of our history, Ulysses S. Grant, U-L-Y-S-S-E-S, Ulysses S. Grant is born. He will die in 1885. Ulysses S. Grant, of course, everyone knows, had bottle problems and women problems, but he was a man of genuine humility and just a truly a statesman in a true sense. All right, another famous man was born in 1822, Louis Pasteur. Louis Pasteur, P-A-S-T-E-U-R, is born. He will die in 1895. The 1800s will be a great advancement in the medical field. 1823, the Monroe Doctrine. is developed, and it closes America to colonial settlement by European powers. So that ended that. But of course, it's being broken, but we don't care about that anymore. We don't have the power to stop it. All right, 1823, we have the earliest attempt of developing or constructing a calculating machine. This was by somebody who was lazy and just decided that it would be better if we had a machine to do it. So we have the calculating machine starting. I guess you could almost credit Babbage, B-A-B-B-A-G-E is the man's name, with the computer, huh? All right. This is also the 1823, the time that we have the invention of waterproof fabric. Waterproof fabric starts to be invented at this time. The needs of man, the ideas of man, even on a practical level, are changing in the 1800s and 1900s. 1824, just because it's important to the uniqueness of it, John Quincy Adams is elected president by the House of Representatives. This was one of those interesting elections where none of the candidates wins a majority in the national election, and it was the House of Representatives that made John Quincy Adams the president. 1825, the Waltz King is born, Johann Strauss, J-O-H-A-N-N. Strauss, S-T-R-A-U-S-S, S-T-R-A-U-S-S is born. 1825, we have one of the earliest, it's hard to pick some of these as to the first one and all of that, but one of the earliest baseball clubs was organized in New York. Rochester, New York is one of the first baseball was first organized. 1826, moving away from the freedom, Thomas Jefferson died. For the music lovers like Bill, 1826 also, we have Overture to a Midsummer Night's Dream. If you want to write it, I'll give you a minute. Overture to a Midsummer Night's Dream, a very beautiful piece of music. Composed by Mendelssohn, M-E-N-D-E-L-S-S-O-H-N. Beautiful piece of music. All right, 1827, John Darby. John Darby founds the Plymouth Brethren. Darby is one of the first strong dispensationalists, as we'll find out when we study church history. Very strong, but he founds the Plymouth Brethren. 1827, Beethoven dies. 1828, John Quincy Adams loses an election to Andrew Jackson. Andrew Jackson is elected president over John Adams. 1829, I like this man's work. In high school, I did a lot of this man's things in dramatic and terp. Henrik Ibsen, I-B-S-E-N, was born in 1828. He will die in 1906. He wrote The Dollhouse and several other pieces of dramatic work. All right, 1828, the American Dictionary of English Language. The American Dictionary of the English Language by Noah Webster. 1828 also, we have the construction of the Baltimore and Ohio, the first railroad built in the United States for transportation of passengers. The first railroad built in the United States for the transportation of passengers, the Baltimore, Ohio. 1828, the Red Cross is founded. the Red Cross is founded by Henry H-E-N-R-I Dunant, D-U-N-A-N-T. He founded the Red Cross. He will die in 1910. 1829, well, that's just the inauguration from the election of Andrew Jackson. 1829, the Smithsonian Institute is founded. The Smithsonian Institute is founded. James Smithson, S-M-I-C-H-S-O-N, James Smithson, a British chemist, died, and he left all of his money to found the Smithsonian Institute in Washington, D.C., 1829 is the founding of the Salvation Army. The foundation of the Salvation... Well, excuse me, this is just the birth of William Booth. William Booth, B-O-O-T-H, is born this year. He will die in 1912, but he is the founder of the Salvation Army. Also in 1829, the first typewriter is patented in the United States. I'm going to stop for a moment and give you some other information, but 1830, Emily Dickinson, D-I-C-K-I-N-S-O-N, Emily Dickinson, the poet, is born. 1830, ladies' skirts started to grow shorter. After this time, they covered the shoes, but the skirts started to grow shorter. Ladies' sleeves become enormous. Hats become extremely large with all types of ornaments on them. Also in 1830, a lady by the name of Belva, B-E-L-V-A, capital L-O-C-K, W-O-O-D, was the first woman to practice before the Supreme Court and to be nominated for the presidency. So there you are. Belva Lockwood, 1830, an American lawyer, first woman to practice before the Supreme Court and the first woman to be nominated for presidency, is born. He will die in 1917. And here's one man you and I can hate this day. This is the year that stiff collars became part of men's dress. I have no idea if that has anything to do with the skirts going up and the collars getting stiff, but there's the two things that happened in the that year. Now, on the religious side, 1830, the Religious Society of Mormons. The Religious Society of Mormons, or the Latter-day Saints, is founded by Joseph Smith. Now, just so you'll have something other than just the facts thrown out as we go along, I'll come back and put it in its proper place. But just so you'll have it, 1830, Mormonism. 1843, the Seventh-day Adventists. We'll do all of this when we come to church history. 1830, Mormonism. 1843, Seventh-day Adventist. 1866, Christian Science. 1884, Jehovah's Witness. 1886 is the kind of the given date for fundamentalism. It's a developmental thing in the 1870s, 1880s, 1890s. But in 1886, there's a very important conference in Chicago. So this gives you some idea of what's happening in that realm. But 1830, we have the development of Mormonism, the Society of Mormonism, or the Latter-day Saints. And it's one of the first early major cults in American history. The founder, of course, is Joseph Smith, just very quickly. He was 14 years old when he had his first vision. He was 14 years old when he claimed to have had his first vision concerning the church. And three years later, he had his second vision in which the plate, which is very important to Mormonism, were revealed to him. John the Baptist, Peter, James, and John all appeared to him. And this guy's really good. And people follow this stuff, and they believe him, and they have followed his teaching. But John the Baptist and Peter, James, and John all appeared to him. And the year after that was the Book of Mormons went on sale. The Book of Mormonism went on sale. And then a little later in his life, he'll have a vision of the city of Zion. And then a little later, after that, he will have a revelation that polygamy is legal. And that's a nice revelation. So Peter, James, and John came to him. He's had a lot of visions in his lifetime. But all of this is his story. He will be succeeded by Brigham Young. He will be succeeded by Brigham Young, who will be from 1801 to 1877. It will be Brigham Young who will take them to Salt Lake City. But that just gives you a quick run of him, and we didn't study anything about his faith. It is they are not Christians, but that's one of the first cults, predominant cults, to arise in American history. All right, let's go on to 1831. The only thing there is Chester Arthur, the 21st President of the United States, is born. Chester Arthur, the 21st President of the United States, is born. He will die in 1886. In 1831, James Garfield is born. James Garfield is born. He's the 20th president. He will be assassinated in 1881. 1831, Charles Darwin makes his very famous study, and he's traveling in an expedition with the HMS Beagle to South America, New Zealand, and Austria. And this is where he will start his study on evolution. Charles Darwin, in 1831, starts out on his expedition that will lead to his coming up with the view and teaching of evolution. 1831, just for your common fun interest, matches are made easy to ignite. Just the reading through must have been very interesting, the development, because for a while they had to make it where they wouldn't explode, and then they had to do different things. And so finally, by 1831, they're getting the match developed pretty good. 1831, you have the beginning of the abolitionist, the beginning of the abolitionist movement. And from here on, you're going to have a lot of things being written against slavery, against all of these things that they do not like at this time. Also, 1831, a man important to us as far as the war between the states is concerned, John B. Hood is born. John B. Hood is born. He will die in 1879. Very courageous man. Not a very smart general, but a very courageous one anyway. All right, 1831 also. Samuel Smith. Samuel Smith writes the words, "My country, 'tis of thee." And for a while, it was one of our national anthems. So 1831, Samuel Francis Smith writes, "My country, 'tis of thee." He was just a student, by the way, in college when he wrote it. 1832. All right, Andrew Jackson. very important part of American history. Andrew Jackson is nominated by the New Democratic Party. He is nominated by the New Democratic Party and is elected over Henry Clay. John C. Calhoun, Vice President, leaves politics. He's just totally dissatisfied with everything and everybody and leaves. Also in 1832, types of things that men like Calhoun and others reacted to, the word socialism comes into use as a political term. The word socialism comes into use in both English and in French as a strong political term. Only because it's important in recent history, I'll tell you this, 1832 is the time when Britain occupied the Falkland Islands. So they rebelled in our lifetime, and it didn't do them any good. But the 1832 is when they occupied the Falkland Islands. For you ladies, in 1832, you have the author of the book Little Women is born, Alcott. May Alcott, Louis May Alcott, A-L-C-O-T-T, the author of Little Women is born. Also that same year, the author of Alice in Wonderland is born. The author of Alice in Wonderland is born. And it's no accident that you're going to have a lot of these kinds of things to offset the very strong physical, sociological, theological, philosophical, psychological, Darwin, you have Freud, you're going to have a lot of things. And so it's not going to be surprising to counter that. You're going to have some light things like this. So the author of Alice in Wonderland is born. Her name is Lewis Carroll. You know that. Lewis Carroll is born. 1833, General Santa Anna becomes the president of Mexico. 1833, General Santa Anna becomes the president of Mexico, and the whole country is threatened by civil war. This is also the beginning of the Whig, W-H-I-G, party in America. The beginning of the Whig party in America. Another man whose music many of you appreciate is born in 1833, Johannes Brahms, B-R-A-H-M-S. The German composer Johannes Brahms is born. He will die in 1897. Another man that we have to deal with his name in the paper once a year, Alfred Nobel, N-O-B-E-L. Alfred Nobel is born in 1833. He will be the engineer and donor of the Nobel Prize Foundation. So that's when that will come about later in his lifetime. Also in this time you have a lot of abolition and anti-slavery movements going on. 1834, Victor Hugo writes The Hunchback of Notre Dame. Victor Hugo has the bestseller, The Hunchback of Notre Dame. Very important to those of you who read in the history realm, 1834, you have the birth of Lord Acton, A-C-T-O-N. He is the founder of Cambridge Modern History, by the way. Lord Acton. A man that we will study in a little bit of detail when we come to church history is also born this year, Charles H. Spurgeon, S-P-U-R-G-E-O-N. S-P-U-R-G-E-O-N. The same we do not read some of these men's lives instead of some of the stuff we read today, because some of these men have intriguing lives. But Charles H. Spurgeon, he was a Baptist preacher, was born, he will die in 1892. 1834 is also the first book on baseball. Also, 1834 is the first sewing machine. Work is getting to be too modernized for ladies, and they're going to have too much time and start finding other things to do with their idle time, and we're in trouble with the invention of the sewing machine, the vacuum cleaner, the washing machine, all of this kind of thing. I guess, of course. I read a book, in college around that time, and it was really well written of how man blames inventions on why women do not love their husbands and why there's women liberation. And we just, when you took away the scrub board and you gave them some, well, I've got the board he named for the face and all this stuff, and boy, you really changed the whole thing of the relationship of man and woman and all of this. And it never made bestseller. I don't know why, but it never did. 1835 is the last Holy Roman Emperor. His name, if you wanted, is Francis II, but historical is the important thing. This is the last Holy Roman Emperor. It will be revived, of course, during the tribulation. 1835, Texas declares its right to secede from Mexico. Don't clap, don't applaud, just right, remain calm. Texas declares its right to secede from Mexico, 1835. Also at 1835, you have the starting of writing on things of masochism and various sexual type of things are starting to be talked about and written about, and this type of thing is starting to come on the scene. Mark Twain is born. Of course, his name is Samuel Clemens. He is born in 1835. He will die in 1910. During this time, you have the great revivals of Charles Finney. There's another interesting man to read about. Charles G. Finney, F-I-N-N-E-Y, American evangelist. During this time, he's leading his revivals. Also in 1835, I think I gave you a little bit of information, but Barnum, B-A-R-N-U-M, begins his career. Barnum begins his career, and he will exhibit his first career. His career begins, he realized that people are interested. His first exhibit was a Negro lady who was alleged to be George Washington's nurse, which would make her over 160 years old. And people paid Barnum to come in and see this black lady who was Washington's nurse. They also sold David Tarp Signo. At 1835, it's got to be interesting that when I've read through this thing about him, I'm almost tempted to read his life. It's got to be interesting. He must have been a man of just unbelievable creativity and imagination. All right, 1835, Andrew Carnegie is born. Andrew Carnegie, C-A-R-N-E-G-I-E. All right, 1835, important date for some of us, Samuel Colt, C-O-L-T. Samuel Colt takes out his English patent for his single-barrel pistol and rifle. Samuel Colt takes out his English patent for his single-barrel pistol and rifle. He will die in 1865. Shot himself with a gun he didn't think was loaded. No, he didn't. Do not know. That is not true. All right. 1836. Davy Crockett. Davy Crockett is born. Excuse me. Not born. How could he be born? That's when he died. He was born in 1786. He was born in 1786. He died in the Alamo. Davy Crockett. All right. Also in this year, you have several writings in this time period. See if I can pick up some of them. But you have such writings as Christian Mysticism is going on, History and Philosophy. Christianity and philosophy. A lot of things are being written at this particular period of time. All right, 1837. Martin Van Buren, B-U-R-E-N, is inaugurated as the 8th president. For those of you who are intrigued with history, this is an interesting date, 1837, Sitting Bull. Sitting Bull, the American Indian chief, is born. He will die in 1890. Also 1837, Dwight L. Moody, another very interesting man. Moody has a very interesting life as far as God dealing with individuals. Dwight L. Moody, American evangelist, is born. He will die in 1899. Also in 1837, the American Presbyterian split into the old and new square. We'll have to study why they split. Also in 1837, England introduces the official birth registration, which we know, of course, is a birth certificate. Oliver Twist is written by Dickens. Henry Irving, I-R-V-I-N-G, is born. Henry Irving is born. All right, 1838, the philosopher Comte, C-O-M-T-E. What he does, he gives the basic social sciences of sociology its name. In other words, the science of sociology, it receives its name from Comte. A very dangerous man as far as the evil of philosophy is concerned. You have to study him when you study philosophy, and unfortunately in seminary today. Those of you that are interested, in 1838, we have the last volume of the series by John Audubon, The Birds of America. John Audubon. He will die in 1851. All right, 1839. Charles Goodyear, his date, Charles Goodyear, of course, Goodyear, rubber company, 1800 to 1860. He makes, in 1839, he makes possible the commercial use of rubber. He makes possible the commercial use of rubber. Also in 1839, the naming of the ozone comes about. 1839, the naming of the ozone comes about. The cell theory is developed. The cell theory is developed. And the first electric clock is built. 1839. Now, this is... don't be confused by what I told you before, because you have to remember that the development of rules and everything is a development process, an evolutionary process. So, for the sake of your trivia, you can put this down. An American Army officer, Abner Doubleday, laid out the first baseball rules, and played the first baseball game as we know it. This happened in New York. So, an American Army officer, Abner Doubleday, laid out the first baseball field and the rules and conducted the first game of baseball that you and I understand. This was also the time in this period when you have such the sociology, ideology of, and you might put this down if you want to understand sociologists and socialist is what I mean, socialist, to each according to his need, from each according to his ability. So in other words, those who produce have the responsibility of taking care of the parasites in society. To each according to his needs, from each according to his ability. This phrase is developed in 1839 by the French philosophers, and this is going to be a great impulse as far as a lot of the ideology of socialism is concerned. John D. Rockefeller is born also in 1839. He will die in 1937. Anti-slavery is advancing. 1841. William Henry Harrison, H-A-R-R-I-S-O-N, the ninth president of the United States, dies 1 month after his inauguration. John Tyler becomes the president of the United States. Also in the same year of 1841, Oliver Wendell Holmes. Oliver Wendell Holmes, Jr., American jurist, justice of the Supreme Court, is born. He will die in 1935. Also in 1841, hypnosis is discovered in Scotland. Probably just drinking that. All right. 1841, Barnum is up to his tricks. Barnum opens the American Museum, which is an exhibition of freaks. And I guess from that he starts traveling around with them. The New York Tribune appears for the first time. And ladies, 1841, very significant year in American history. The first university degrees granted to women in America, 1841. Don't be too disappointed. There aren't that many colleges anyway, and they're all starting to develop. So, but that's when that phenomenon occurred, was at that time. All right, 1842. Ether is used for surgical anesthesia. Ether is first used. Also in 1842, you have the very beginning of thermodynamics being developed. The beginning of thermodynamics. It's a little surprising that that goes that far back. But that is just the beginning. All right, 1843, getting into the Christmas season. You have in 1843, Dickens, A Christmas Carol. Dickens' Christmas Carol. 1843 is also the time period of Wagner. Wagner, actually, W-A-G-N-E-R. His writings have been, compositions are being developed at this time. Also in this time, you have the world's first nightclub. The world's first nightclub in Paris. Skiing is for the first time introduced as a sport. Now also in 1843, Liddell and Scott, L-I-D-D-E-L-L, Liddell and Scott, S-C-O-T-T, this is the Greek-English lexicon that I still use. Liddell and Scott is published for the first time. Of course, it's been updated and things, but it is still the fundamental work on the New Testament. I gave you Brown's Riding Bridge of the Hebrew last week. This is Liddell and Scott. The Greek-English lexicon is developed. John Stuart Mill writes on logic. Just remember, we're drawn to the Bible, to study the Bible, to answer all of the challenges to Christianity. Also in this year, we have the birth of the Seventh-day Adventist. 1843 is basically the year set aside as the, determined as the date of the Seventh-day Adventist. very, very quickly. The Seventh-day Adventist is developed by Will Miller, M-I-L-L-E-R, Will Miller. His dates are 1782 to 1849. He was raised in New York. He was an Army chaplain. Now listen to this, because this still goes on. And after he served as an Army chaplain, he was converted from his deism, and he became a Baptist. And he studied the Scripture for 14 years. He figured out that Christ will come in 1843. That Christ would return in 1843. He led a group of people who believed him. They were radicals. And had over 50,000 people following him by 1843. Over 50,000 people were following him, and of course Christ didn't come. And they reset the date for 1844. A lot of the followers dropped off, but a group in New Hampshire had a Seventh-day worship led by Ellen White, E-L-L-A-N-W-H-I-T-E. Ellen White was having a little church service of her own at the same time. By the way, she is from Maine. She is from Maine and grew up as a Methodist. She was hit in the head at 9, became an invalid. She started having her visions that she marched into heaven and she met Jesus Christ. She walked with Jesus Christ into the Holy of Holies, and after that, she married a man named James White. She had another vision in which she went into the holy place again with the Lord. After that, she founded the Seventh-day Adventist. The theology is very, very bad, so we'll not get into that at this point. But that's the type of thing that developed the Seventh-day Adventist and that cult and how it came about. All right, 1844. James Polk is elected the 11th President of the United States. And also on this date, if you like history, a very important meeting took place. Karl Marx met Frederick Engels. Marx met Engels in Paris in 1844. They found out they had a lot in common. Also, in 1844 was the founding of the YMCA, Young Men's Christian Association, founded in England by George Williams. All right, 1845. Eli Root, R-O-O-T, the American statesman, is born. And also in 1845, Texas becomes a state of the United States. 1845, Ingalls publishes his writings, some of his writings on the working class. Starts writing on the working class. And a lot of other writings start to come out at that time. All right, 1845, the United States Naval Academy opened. The United States Naval Academy in Annapolis opened in 1845. 1846, we'll have such writings as Atheist, Psychology, Morality. All of these things start being written in the middle of the 19th century. Also, 1846 is when Brigham Young led the Mormons to Salt Lake, Utah. 1846, just to take up where I gave you before, the Smithsonian Institute is founded, 1846. The Smithsonian Institute, which the money was left by Smithson, and now the Institute is actually founded. 1847, Jane Eyre is written. Jane Eyre is written. Wuthering Heights is written. By the way, my sisters, Charlotte Bront, B-R-O-N-T-E, wrote Jane Eyre. Emily Bront wrote to Wuthering Heights. Thackeray also wrote Vanity Fair that year. Karl Marx starts his, in the same year, starts his attacking on poverty and starts joining together the working class. Thomas Edison dies in 1847. Evaporated milk is made for the first time, just filling something we use quite a lot today. Alexander Graham Bell is born in 1847. Alexander Bell is born in 1847. The great gold rush in California in 1847. 1848, you have the revolt in Paris by the working class. 1848, the revolt in Paris by the working classes of France. There is also a revolution in Vienna. There is a revolution in Venice. There is a revolution in parts of Russia. So, and there are revolts in Rome. So, in the middle of the 19th century, you have, and see, a lot, you've got to realize what's going on with Marx, Engels, that, all of that type of thought. He's doing his writing, he's exciting the people. A lot of ideologists are getting people excited in Europe, philosophy, and all of these things are going about, and it is no accident all of these things came together. But just get it down to revolt, the civil riot. The civil riots in Paris, civil riots in Vienna, civil riots in Venice, civil riots in Berlin, civil riots in parts of Russia, Czechoslovakia, civil rights in Rome. Riots. All of these things going on in the same year. Also in that very same year, 1848, Communist Manifesto is issued by Marx and Engels. The Communist Manifesto is issued by Marx and Engels. John Mill is writing such things as the principle of political economy. Spiritualism becomes very popular in America. The middle of the 19th century is unbelievable. He was studying it from a philosophical, ideological, theological standpoint. And while all of this is going on, someone's being born. He doesn't care about any of that. Belle Starr is born. She will die in 1889. But in 1848, Belle Starr is born. But Engels and Marx, to get back to the serious part, Marx and Engels write the give forth the Communist Manifesto. And you have all the riots that are starting to crop up all over the world. All right, 1849, how are we doing on time? Well, this is where we'll begin. We've got to get through with this. This is not all that where we need to be spending this much time on it. I got a little note from somebody who was listening to the tape. I don't know how they can get them so quickly. I'm going to have to find out. But they're enjoying this whole thing, so we'll finish it up. But we've got to get back and get on to our study. But it does give me some time to get some outlines on Jerusalem and that I want to give you. All right, let's close and prepare ourselves for Galatians. Father, we are grateful for the opportunity to run through history, even in a very quick manner, picking up the things that occur and realize the challenge that is set before us. Father, we are responsible for our decisions. We are responsible for what we will do with Bible doctrine and Jesus Christ in our own life. And therefore, the study of these things is an added momentum to continue our study, our relationship with our Lord. In Christ's name we pray, amen.